So let's dive deep. Let's do it. The only thing I know is that I don't know anything. Are you really ready to look at yourself? You are seen, you are heard, you are loved. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Cut all that out. Just say the deep dive with Adam Roa. I don't like any of that.
The Deep Dive with Adam Roa.
Hello, Deep Divers. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Deep Dive Musings. My name is Adam Roa. Before we get started here, I just want to let you know that I'm incredibly excited because in the next couple weeks, I'm going to be announcing the launch, the release of my new online course, Unlock Your Inner Artist. I've teased this in the past, and it's finally arriving in early February, where I teach you my creative process. I take you through a 4-module course so that you can learn to create. You can learn to tap into your creative energy in an entirely new way. And yeah, I believe that creative energy is the thing that will change the planet. It will save the human race as we learn to tap into our creative energy, our unique expression, and do it in a way that is healthy and is pulling from the frequencies, the space of our highest vibration, our highest alignment, basically the visions where everyone is thriving and there's prosperity consciousness on this planet. All of that, to create from that place, requires an understanding of how to do it. And everything I've created, I use this methodology, and I'm so excited to bring it to you. It will be out shortly, so stay tuned for that. Also, if you've been enjoying this podcast, I have a small request, which is please, 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 just leave a review. Leave a review, help the algorithm, share it with a friend, let them know about it, because the number of messages I've been getting recently from people who are listening to these podcasts and saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, I found out about this from my friend, there's a lot of those. So for all of you who are telling your friends and family, I appreciate you. For all of you sharing it on Instagram, I appreciate you. And for those of you leaving reviews, I also appreciate you. So, and even those of you who don't want to help this be found by anyone, but you're enjoying it personally, I love you too. So today I'm actually going to talk about something that's been requested for a while, which is plant medicine. It's coming up. It's coming up a lot in my experience recently. It's been a topic of conversation, and I'm also sitting in an ayahuasca ceremony this coming Friday night. And for those of you who are not familiar with what ayahuasca is a brew. Well, it's two things. Well, it's a vine that originated in South America called ayahuasca, and it's mixed with these leaves called chacruna leaves and water and boiled down and creates a brew, which is also called ayahuasca. And it's an entheogen, which means it has these visionary psychedelic properties, and it's done in these traditional shamanic ceremonies. And you drink it, and you have your journey, whatever that may look like. And I don't even want to pretend that I could encapsulate the experience for anyone. However, what I do want to say and be very clear about is my spiritual awakening happened because of an ayahuasca ceremony. I had very little idea of why I was even there, other than I was desperate and all these signs I had been following had pointed me in this direction. And I decided to say yes and wound up in this ceremony with a shaman and drank this thing, and my whole life changed. And since then, I've probably sat in, I mean, it's been over the course of, let's call it 5 years, I've sat in maybe 30 ceremonies. Sometimes that looks like I'll sit 6 ceremonies in a 2-month period. And then other times it looks like, whoa, I haven't sat in ceremonies for 6 months or 8 months. And it's never, oh, I'm going to this thing to fix something. It feels like I'm being called. I've used several other plant medicines in my journey. I have used psilocybin, which are magic mushrooms, right? Psychedelic mushrooms. I have used LSD. I have used iboga, which is a root of a bush that comes from Gabon, Africa, which is, some people have heard of it as ibogaine, which is a synthesized version, which has been also used in these traditional shamanic ceremonies and is incredibly effective at breaking addiction. Ibogaine is incredibly effective at breaking opioid addictions and getting people off of heroin or alcoholism. Also a visionary experience. I have used peyote, which is a cactus, used in traditional Native American ceremonies. I have used San Pedro, which is also a cactus, which has been used in indigenous ceremonies. I feel like I'm confessing to you somehow, like list all of the drugs that you've done. And that's a big key word right there, drugs, because so much of this is people associating these medicines as drugs. But it's interesting when people say, oh, I'm going to go to the drugstore to get ibuprofen or Tylenol. And then when they say drugs in reference to magic mushrooms, it's a whole different thing. It's like the bad thing. And that's why I like to use medicine as the word, because that's what it's used for. And there's non-psychedelic medicines that I've used for whatever reason. In our most recent episode of The Art of Choosing Love, which is my like conscious reality show that we have been putting out and just wrapped season one. It's available on YouTube or theartofchoosinglove.com. We show our combo ceremony. The combo ceremony is the frog venom from the Amazon, where they burn holes into your skin and then they put the frog venom on those burns, and you basically start throwing up and purge energetically and also physically. It's a huge physical cleanse of the system. That's a medicine that's been used for so long. Sananga, which is these eye drops that you can put into your eyes and it burns like hell, and also is an energetic cleanse. What else? Cannabis. Cannabis is such a big one. Marijuana, weed, what, all these different names for it. Incredible helper in certain times, in certain instances, depending on what it's used for and the intention of it. I'm trying to think if there's more that I can list off. I mean, there's so many, so many that I have explored over the course of my life. And the reason I'm talking about these is because I want to normalize it the way that alcohol is normalized. I want to normalize it the way that painkillers are normalized. Because in my life, these medicines, these indigenous medicines that have been used for hundreds, if not thousands of years, these medicines have completely changed my life more than any painkiller on the planet, more than any anti-anxiety pill. They have supported me in my journey at the deepest level. The person I am today, the love I carry in my heart and feel like I embody on this planet, would not have been possible without these plant allies. Plain and simple. Because I was too stubborn. I thought I had things figured out. And because of that, I was unwilling to accept that there was anything outside the reality that I thought the world to be. And yet these medicines are so intense. These medicines are so all-encompassing and world-shifting at times that it was undeniable for me. And I was still a skeptic, by the way. I went into those being like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I had these experiences and I said, well, let me double check. And I had to verify things that didn't make sense. And I verified them in ways where I went, okay, this is more than coincidence, to the point where essentially the logical part of my mind said, to say that this is a coincidence is actually a bigger leap than to say, no, there's something here in this energetic spiritual realm. That's how it happened for me. It was just a logical choice, a logical deduction to say, at this point, It would be me reaching. I would have to actually suspend my disbelief further to say that it's all just one big coincidence. And the funny thing is, as I've accepted that spirituality, energy, all of this stuff, is there is a reality to it, as I've accepted that and begun to operate within that worldview, what has happened is my entire life has changed. When I started operating within the principles of manifestation and the law of attraction, my entire life changed. And all of the things that I had wanted, that I had been working so hard to achieve, more financial abundance, more fun, more fulfillment of my purpose, all of these things that I had been working years and years and years to fulfill, they started to show up. I started to live those. I started to receive those things. And I started to receive them when I began to apply the principles of manifestation, of frequency, of energetics, of personal development work, when I started to apply those things. And so that creates a feedback loop where I say, whoa, this is working. I'm going to continue to dive in. And I dive in deeper. And then the cosmic game starts, right? The cosmic, where there's Sirius and Pleiades and Lyra and all these ancient, these solar systems, these stars, these frequencies, these interdimensional ideas, right? Which I don't talk about often because I think so many people can shut down. They say, whoa, that's so weird. That's so whatever. And to be honest, I'm not even sure how those ideas impact my day-to-day life. So that's part of the reason why I don't really talk about them, because I can't tell you, oh, the fact that I think that Pleiadian energy is coming down and people are channeling it or whatever is true, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how it's impacting my life. What I can tell you is that I'm open to receiving that information. I don't care where it comes from. If it feels good in my system, if it feels like it could be beneficial to me or this planet, I'll entertain it, no matter where it comes from. I wrote a book called Cosmic Philosophy. If you're interested in it, you can get it on Amazon. You can get a hard copy, or you could get an audiobook or a Kindle version. It's all available on Amazon. And you can go to adamroa.com to find out a little bit more about it. And I wrote this book not even in the traditional way. How did I write this book? I wrote this book because I was in Egypt and I went into the pyramids, all three of the Giza pyramids, on the night of the full blood moon a couple years back, and meditated with a group of people chanting inside these pyramids for 2 hours each, spending 6 hours in the Great Pyramids of Egypt on the night of the full moon, chanting and oming and all these things. And it was a complete wild ride. And the next day, I meet this man from Brazil who tells me what he does is open up people's channels. And I said, okay, can we do that? Great. He comes to my hotel room with his apprentice. They give me a 2-hour session of opening up my channel to receive information from wherever. It doesn't even matter. And for the next 30 days, every morning I would get on the phone with him and he would take me through a 5-minute meditation to open my channel. And then I would write. I would write with my eyes closed most of the time. And that's what got turned into a book. So yes, it wasn't traditional. And I look back and I sometimes go back and read some of that and go, whoa, this is amazing. This is really deep and helpful. And it resonates with me now. And what does it matter where it came from? Do I need to say it came from Sirius? Do I need to say it came from the Pleiadians, like Arcturians? Or do I need to say it came from ayahuasca or mushrooms? You know, there's this thought that, I don't know if you know this, but there are these mushrooms that like these goats will eat, or I think other animals, but I know for sure goats will eat these, and the spores will get into their brain and make them go up onto like a mountain or a hill, and when it's ready to burst, and then the mushroom will literally burst out of their brain, and because they're up high, the spores will spread. Think about that for a second. It's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. These mushrooms that are eaten take over the host and get them to act the way they want them to, which is go up to a high point and then burst, so that they can spread. That's wild, right? And so someone entertained to me, or someone gave me this idea and said, well, you know, so what if we are just the host for the will of the plants? What if you've taken magic mushrooms at some point in your life, what if now the frequency of those mushrooms is what is driving your behavior? Because so many people I know who've drank a cup of ayahuasca or taken magic mushrooms have felt connected to everyone and everything. And that connection has shifted them at a great deep level to say, you know what? I want to help the planet. I want to help humanity. Is that their decision, or are now the plants working through them? And does it even matter? Huh. You see, what I am is I'm a psychonaut. I am an explorer of human consciousness. I am a consciousness architect. The more deeply I can understand what is going on inside of myself, inside of my consciousness, the more deeply I understand what's going on inside of yours, because we are the same. We are more similar than we are different. How I learn, how I feel, how I act, it can look different, and yet at our core, there are similar foundations. The way our brains operate are so similar. And the things that I use to support me don't always need to be plant medicines or ceremonies. Well, ceremonies are very common. So like Vipassana. Vipassana is a meditation style that was taught by Buddha. And Vipassana is traditionally done in 10 days. It's a 10-day silent meditation retreat where you do not talk, you do not read or write or exercise. You meditate for 10 hours a day, starting at 4:30 in the morning. For 10 days, that's a ceremony. And it was transformative for me. Breath work. I've had some incredibly cathartic breath work experiences where literally all you're doing is breathing. You change the way that you breathe, and you do that for 30 minutes or an hour or whatever it is. And I've had incredibly powerful releases and growth from those ceremonies. I've had incredibly powerful meditations, just meditating. To me, it doesn't actually matter where it comes from or how it shows up, but I am willing to explore. I am willing to open myself up and say, I am ready to receive. I am ready to receive whatever is wanting to come through for my highest good and the greater good of all. And the receptivity that I feel, the willingness that I feel to receive, has me step into some crazy circumstances. Like a plant medicine ceremony. Like I'm going to do this Friday. And other times it looks like going on these crazy journeys, like filming The Art of Choosing Love or starting this podcast. I've been doing this podcast for over 2 years. Why? I haven't made a dollar off of it. There's no ad. I'm not being paid to do this. I'm doing this because I feel called to. I love it. I grow from it. It allows me to feel fulfilled, like I'm providing value. You see, plant medicines are just one part of the journey. And I feel as if some of you right now have been asking for a sign. You've been asking for direction. You've been asking for that next thing so that you can continue your journey, that you might be able to break some of the patterns that are holding you, where you feel like you're not growing, you feel stagnant, you don't know where to turn. And my suggestion to you is open yourself up to the possibility that it may come in a way that you never expected. To get something you've never had, you get to do something you've never done. So what might that look like? Is it plant medicine? And if it is, do you have resistance to it? Why? What is the resistance? Are you resistant because you've been raised in a society that tells you that magic mushrooms or ayahuasca or psychedelics are dangerous, that they're wrong, that they're scary? Have you looked into the history of psychedelics and why they've been portrayed that way? There's a great documentary called Neurons to Nirvana that I highly recommend for anyone who wants more information about the history of psychedelics. How much of this is your choice and how much of this is just collective conditioning that we've taken on? How many of our parents and grandparents were raised in a society where marijuana, which, by the way, marijuana is not even the, where that name comes from. It's so crazy. It was branded that. It was portrayed as that because they ran this smear campaign on cannabis, which has done a massive disservice, by the way, because hemp products from the cannabis plant, hemp products would do a lot of good on this planet. Strong, like, can be used as paper, stronger than cotton. Like, there's so much that it could be used for. And William Randolph Hearst, recognizing that he owned all these paper mills and producing all of it, and recognized that hemp was a superior product than his paper, ran the smear campaigns and he controlled the newspapers. So therefore, it became mass media. Yes, this is all true. You can go look it up. The point is that the salad that you're eating, because you know it's nutritious for you, is a plant medicine. The spirulina, the chlorella, the wheatgrass is a plant medicine. The coffee you might drink in the morning to give you that energy or that stimulant is a plant medicine. So where are you drawing the line and why? The point of this podcast, the intention, is simply to get you to question it. Ask yourself why. And if you decide, you know, it's just not for me, great, awesome. But make that choice from a sovereign place. And if it's not sovereign, if you've taken it on from a collective, where are you taking it on from? Are you taking it on from the people and the organizations that you align with? Do they have your best interests at heart? Do you share the same values? And if you're willing to question it a little bit further, what opens up? What possibility is available to you when you take back your sovereignty? Thank you for listening. Thank you for being on this journey, this wild journey. I want to remind you that always, in all ways, you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved.